Hello, this is Art coming to you from a car heading north on I-95 towards the AGA convention day two, 7:43 a.m. Beautiful Saturday morning. If you hear a little background noise, it's because I'm in a car. I thought it would be a good way to pass some of the time here. Driving up, it's about 45 minutes away from where I live, by telling you a little bit about day one, giving you sort of a recap. I didn't really take out my recorder at all yesterday. I felt that I wanted to experience this being my first AGA convention, really experience it and not be focused on putting a recorder in front of people's faces to try and record them. Got to meet a lot of great people, and I think that's the whole point of this convention, putting faces to names, sometimes names and people that you've been communicating with for years on end online, and that's one of the beautiful things about the internet. It allows you to communicate even though you've never met these people. But it's great to finally connect and see what they look like and talk plants and really thank them for all the information and energy that they've shared and experiences that they've shared. So just going back, the day started early, meeting at the hotel in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to start the carpool over to Florida Aquatic Nursery, FAN. Those of you that don't know, Florida Aquatic Nurseries is one of the largest aquatic plant and I guess marginal plant producers, growers in the United States, if not the world. They've been in business for 50 years. Brad McLean and his brother have been running it for a long time. They took it over from their dad who started it. And now I was very happy to find out that Brandon, Brad's son, is in the business and did a heck of a job, really, helping us. It was a lot of people with the tour, giving us a tour, along with his colleagues there at FAN. And then he did a great 30-minute presentation over a great lunch on hybridizing or hybridization of water lilies and all of the work they've been doing, tremendous work, really. I think they've come out in first place in for the last 3 years in certain international competitions. So I'm not a huge water lily guy. I don't have a pond, but boy, those things were beautiful and cool, and the flowers that were being put in put out were tremendous. Kind of really motivates you to try and get out there and perhaps start a pond. And if you have a pond, really look into some of these new things that they're putting out. Really fantastic. So what we did was they have two facilities, and we saw the first one first. Well, the first one first, that doesn't make any sense. Their first location. That was the first one we went and met there and started to see all of their operations. I did take some pictures that I'll be putting up in the show notes. You know, they have an old-style flow-through, unfertilized, other than popping tabs into the sand every so often, every month or so. The water passes through a filter, but I think it's otherwise untreated, so it's Florida well water, high iron concentration. Some of the large concrete tanks that they have contain quite a bit of algae that would be completely unacceptable. I think we would tear down our aquarium if we saw that. But for them, honestly, it's a little shake in the green hair algae, and I saw some cyano as well. Falls off and the plant goes. And they did tell me that they do treat it. They do add copper to the water every once in a while to try and contain the algae. They do use certain pesticides to control insects on their emergent growth plants. A lot of plants underwater growing submerged. We saw a lot of Rotala and other Myriophyllum and whatnot growing. large operation. I don't know exactly how many acres they have there, but it's quite large. Some of it outside with just a screen shade covering. They do have quite a number of greenhouses where they do use a sort of hydroponic emergent system, raft system with fertilized water, and that they do add fertilizer to it in a recirculating sort of environment. We did see anubias. We saw them growing on driftwood. We saw ricea, HC growing on rocks. It looked like lava rocks and tables of HC. A lot of marginals and pond plants as well. So we did about an hour and a half to about an hour and a half to 2 hours in the first facility, and then drove over to their second facility, which is I think a little bit more modern. I think it's their second facility, and saw their operations there, which were impressive as well. And that's where we had lunch and the talk by Brandon. So it was good. It was great walking around with Klaus Christensen, who is a walking encyclopedia. So he was not only telling us the species, but where it grows in nature and if it's fully grown. And we saw this huge mother plant colony, Echinodorus sword plant. And we were shocked at the size. It got to have been 3-4 feet tall, leaves maybe 9 inches across. And even more surprised when Klaus told us that that wasn't really full grown, that he's seen them much bigger, and where he saw them and in what stream and in whatever part of the world that he's been to probably multiple times. And so fascinating walking around with him. Had the pleasure of also walking around with Jeff Sensky and Frank Wazetter of Aquarium Design Group, Luis Navarro. Oh, God, Karen Randall, Julian Sprung was there. He's, I don't know if you'll know Julian. He's one of the owners, if not the owner, of Two Little Fishies. And very well known in the reef aquarium hobby. He has a number of seminal books out, many of which I have. In fact, I later sat down next to him for the tissue culture workshop. So it was good to talk to him and see him exploring the aquatic plant side of the aquarium hobby. Of course, we had the ever-present Eric Olson doing a tremendous job with his camera and large mic capturing the event. For those of you that don't know Eric, he's a guy that tends to stay in the background, and I don't think he gets the accolades that he really deserves. I think those of us that know him and know what he does do give him credit. At least I hope we give him sufficient credit. But everybody else, honestly, and with all due respect to the AGA and the folks there, without Eric, I don't think any of these conventions would be what they are. The recordings would not be what they are. I honestly made a conscious decision to take a step back and maybe not be in reporter mode for every second or even large portions of this convention, in the hopes that you, the listener, will go out and purchase the DVD that the AGA puts out and produced really by Eric, and allowing that DVD to capture the bulk of this convention, not only so that the AGA could make some money that they need and deserve after putting this on, but also just looking at the work and the quality of the work and how much effort is put into that media. I think all of us should really go and purchase the DVDs and support the work that the AGA and Eric does. So I will, and these podcasts will, be more of a supporting role for those DVDs and whatever other media being put out by the AGA for the convention. Getting back on topic here with the tour of FAN, I also had the pleasure of meeting and walking around with people that actually I drove over there, some of which came from Spain and the Basque country over there. Huge trip to come down to the AGA convention here in Florida. Also somebody from Colombia, who has a nursery there and a family operation. Great to see Latin America being represented. And also a mother and daughter. I believe they're from New Orleans, and they're relatively new. So a shout-out to those people and our carpool buddies. Good getting to know them and talking to them about the hobby and what it's like where they come from. Also, TechScal from APC, very energetic. It was great to meet her and her husband, and they were here, as well as others. I think Carlo, his name is Carlo. I'm trying to think of his handle in APC. I think it's Wet, but I'm not sure. But it was good to meet him. Saw Kevin Allen, or Kevin, as well from APC, as well as a few others. I think I've already mentioned Luis Navarro, but it was good to meet him. Oh my gosh, who else? Ricky Kane, Ben, oh my. And I'm sure I'm forgetting a few others, but really tremendous getting to meet everybody that I've, like I said, known for years on end and have been a huge part of the hobby and inspiration for me. So once we finished the tour, which concluded with Brandon's presentation, as I mentioned, we headed back to the hotel for an afternoon talk with Dr. Michael Kane on the micropropagation of aquatic species or tissue culture, as some of you may know it. He is, I would think, the foremost expert on tissue culture of aquatic plants. He works for the University of Florida in their, I think it's agricultural department. The lab he runs has a huge name, and I'll post it in the show notes, and it does fantastic work. He mentioned that he does 70% research and 30% teaching at the facility, and actually one of his grad students was there helping out as well, Chris. And appreciate all the help you gave, Chris. I know we were asking a ton of questions and petrified really with what the workshop that we were trying to do. He gave a talk which lasted, I would say, maybe an hour. Overview on tissue culture, the industry, what they do from plant restoration, habitat restoration to aquarium plant and commercial ornamental plant propagation. Then he went on to what we're going to do. And I was very impressed at the amount of work we got to do. You know, sometimes you get to these workshops and you do two little things and that's about it. But no, in the room we're in, it's quite a large room, and we had the chairs in the front. He was at the podium in the front, and then we worked our way to the back of the room where there were large six-person round tables fully set up with vials, petri dishes, scalpels, tweezers. Oh, God, what else is there? Test tubes with plants in them. A lot of fun stuff. So we started with parrot feather, and they had already created the explants, the little inner nodes of the stem, and placed them in petri dishes. Everything had been pre-sterilized at the UF facilities. So everything was sterile, and we were taught the proper procedure of taking things, opening things correctly so that they don't get contaminated, which is the big risk when you're trying to tissue culture. And we took those explants from parrot feather and put them into tiny vials that were prepared with a nutrient agar solution, dyed with food coloring so that we could tell them apart. And so we learned how to take them from the petri dish and put them into the vials. And there were five vials and two control vials that had no nutrient in them. We learned that we had to put the explants into the control ones first so that we wouldn't contaminate them with the nutrients from the other vials. So learned a lot of stuff that you otherwise wouldn't have thought out of when you're putting these things together. He did go out of his way to say that this can be done at home. Kitchen culture kits is one sort of kit put together by another professor, expert in tissue culture that you can go out and buy. He listed all the resources online that you can go and purchase to do this at home. So anyway, we started with that. Then we moved on to two other plants that were in tissue culture, that were in test tubes, grown out. We had to take them out of there and cut them up and then put them into another set of vials, five vials each. So by now we're 15 vials of explants that we've put into the nutrient solutions. Finally, we had a series of five Cryptocorine wentii basal shoots that were pre-cut and sterilized that we put into the test vials, making about 20, I believe. And then we took a large stage 2 or 3, I don't recall right now, sample of Cryptocorine wentii that in a large baby food jar that had grown out tremendously. And our task was to take it out, subdivide it, so cut out the roots, cut out the leaves, segment it into the shoots, and then sterilize with that one we weren't sterilizing. What we sterilized with the previous Cryptocorine basal shoot that I mentioned, the large clump we segmented and we put into little jars containing nutrients. So that was an exercise in showing how you take a stage 2 or stage 3, sorry, I forgot which stage it is, but a large clump and then subdividing it even more and putting it into new containers for that to multiply even further. But the basal shoots for the Cryptocorine that we did before, we got to take them, put them into a jar of 20% Clorox bleach and tween solution, tween 20 solution, which is sort of a detergent surfactant I'm going to use, but something to that extent. I'll, again, put it in the show notes, and you can look at it in the DVD. But we got to sterilize them and then put them through three separate sterile water rinsing steps, and then finally into the nutrient solution in the little vials as well. We got to take all of the vials home. He mentioned a bag, a star pack, what's called, which is, I believe, a plastic bag that is sealed but allows for gas exchange, and that's a great way to store some of these tissues that you're creating or they create by way of tissue culture. And we each got to take home a what looked to be a Madagascar lace plant, Panagiton. And that looked great in miniature form, kept in these bags. And apparently you can keep these in the refrigerator for 2 years. Karen mentioned that her lace plant that she got in the last convention 2 years ago was still sitting on her desk, has not been refrigerated, and it's doing fine. So we all got to take one of those plants home. So that concluded Dr. Kane's presentation, which rolled into the Iron Aquascaper competition, which I, unfortunately, did not get to see. Had a family function that I couldn't get myself out of, that I couldn't talk my way out of. Want to stay married, so, you know, sometimes all of you married guys know out there you need to take it on the chin. So anyway, I was a trooper and went to the family function and tried to stay tuned to the Iron Aquascaper competition by way of Twitter, which, by the way, if you do use Twitter, I highly recommend it. It's a great way to stay on top of news items that come out. I know Aquarium Design Group uses it often to let people know new things that are coming out. I do as well, just to let you know when a new podcast is coming out or any information that I find out. So it's Scapefoo, by the way, is the handle. So anyway, I got updates via Twitter. I heard it was a tough competition between Frank Wazetter from ADG and Luis Navarro from Texas. And those of you that have been around a while have seen Luis's work. Didn't have, to be honest with you, a lot of high hopes for Frank. No offense to Frank. It's just Luis is that good, and I would have been petrified competing against Luis. So kudos and all the credit in the world to Frank for, you know, manning up and taking on Luis, which is not easy. I did see the two ADG tanks, which were ADA tanks that were set up. The rocks and the hardscape, the branch driftwood that was there. I didn't get a chance to check out the plants that they were going to use, but boy, the hardscapes look great. And I'm sure it was going to be a great competition. You know, I'm looking forward to the next time if I'm able to make it, you know, sitting there front row with a beer in my hand and checking out two experts setting up an aquascape. Does it get better than that, folks? I think not. So just a little bit on the AGA room, the room that we have for the convention. Set up like you would any sort of meeting. You have the podium stage up front. On one side, you have Eric Olson and his all of his equipment, which is quite impressive. I'm looking forward to seeing the product, the end result of that in the DVDs. Before you go in, there's a table set up with all of the AGA T-shirts and DVDs and books and stuff that you can purchase. As you go in, there's a series of tables where the vendors are along the back and the side. Seachem is well represented, and all of their products are there. There's a very nice, very beautiful aquascaped aquarium there with LED lights, which, by the way, I'm an old-timer. I've not really looked into LEDs, but boy, they're impressive, and they're giving the same those shimmering, what would you call them, sort of ripples in the water that you see on the bottom that metal halides create. Very impressive. Light spectrum as well. The plants look great. What else can I tell you? I know Aquarium Supply, Aquarium Hobbyist Supply is represented as well. Boy, and I'm sure I'm missing others. They're there, and you get to see them as you walk in. And as I mentioned, there's tables set up in the back for type of workshop we did. Today's speaker lineup is quite interesting as well. We have Jason Balaban, and I'm looking at the back of my name tag here, from 9 to 10:30. Jason is talking on photography and aquascaping contest prep. That's going to be Fantastic, very interesting. From 10:30 to 12, my friend Klaus Christensen is going to give a talk on how to make the plants happy and avoid algae. I think that's something we all need to focus on, and I'm looking forward to that talk as well. From 1 to 2:30, Dr. Mike Kane is going to come and talk to us about the secret lives of amphibious plants. And 2:30 to 4, Karen Randall on modern aquascaping design. That's also going to be very interesting. And I'm sure for me, a very big educational talk. From 4 to 5:30, my friend Gazan Fargori is going to be talking on cryptocurrency. And then finally, from 6:30 to 11 is the big banquet, 2010 AGA banquet, where the aquascaping contest winners will be announced. Klaus Christensen is also going to give a talk entitled From the Amazon to the River Kwai. Then the very nice hospitality suite is going to be opened up afterwards. So a late night for folks. Unfortunately, the family function that I mentioned yesterday continues, rolls into today for me. So, unfortunately, I will have to miss Gazan Farr's talk and the banquet that I was very much looking forward to. So, painful thing for me, being that it's so close to my house this time, and I'm missing a couple of the key events that I would have liked to have gone. But family first, folks, and sometimes you need to take it on the chin there. So as a wrap-up for the first day recap, fantastic. If it's something that you can actually get to, I think the expense with the AGA convention, the big expense is obviously the flight. If it's anywhere near your home, and so the flights, you can either drive, or the flights are not very expensive. If you can afford the flight, even if it is a little expensive, or better yet, being that they seem to be held every couple of years now, you can bank some air mile points or credit card points or whatnot and save up for it. I highly, highly recommend it. If you really enjoy this hobby and you want to re-energize yourself and speak one-on-one with the recognized experts that can really take your game to the next level, I can't recommend it enough. It's been a tremendous experience, and it's only been day one. So hopefully my humble podcast here will give you a flavor of it. Again, I can't emphasize enough, please buy the DVD that the AGA puts out. That'll give you a great, great feeling for what it is. But like any sporting event or any concert, hearing it on DVD or seeing it on TV, it's not the same as being here. So I would encourage you, if you can, to make it a priority. You have 2 years. Save up for it. You know, bank the money once a week that you would otherwise spend on Starbucks or, junk, and save it up for it. I think it's a great, great thing that is put together by people that really are passionate about this hobby. And if you are too, I think this is the place for you to be. So don't want to ramble on here. I have finally made it to the hotel parking lot. So I'm going to go in and see who I can find. And if I can get a recording of somebody that I think you would find interesting, I will do so. And but no guarantees. As I mentioned here, I'm trying to experience the event and make sure everybody else is experiencing it fully. And I don't want to have a microphone in people's faces here that would detract from that. But if I can, I will. If not, forgive me. I'll try and get some interviews either while here or maybe once people return home. One of the things I'll leave you with is something we were laughing at yesterday, and everybody that went to the tissue culture workshop left with a bunch of vials containing different color media in it, with little tiny what looks to be wicks. So a lot of these folks on Sunday are going to be catching flights home. And the Fort Lauderdale Airport security staff is going to have a field day with them, because they're all going to have or be trying to get on board planes with 20 or 30 different little vials with little wicks on them and different color, you know, gel things inside of them that going to make for a fun time. I almost want to go and just sit there and watch them trying to get through security on that or with those things packed in their bags. But I'll try and get a report on that from somebody that went through it and see what their experiences was. But very funny. So anyway, that's it for the morning of Saturday after day one. I will give a recap as I'm heading home today, recapping day two. Day three, Sunday, is the big plant auction, which I will attempt to get here see what they have and hopefully walk away with some excellent examples of plants and hopefully some rare ones. So that's it. Stay tuned. Thanks. Bye-bye.